Hey, it's Simon.
And this is Martina.
And we're broadcasting out of Kichijoji, Tokyo, Japan, the best part of Japan.
We got to work on our voice tones here. Should we do like a Kichijoji, or should we be like Kichijoji, or should we like be like Kichi?
What we need to do is every time you try to do it, I'm just going to throw it off into a different tone.
There will be no musicality. It hurts
in this
my
whatsoever.
Musical soul. It like physically burns. Okay, ready? You go Kichijoji.
Kichijoji.
Kichijoji. Okay, ready?
Kichijoji.
Broadcasting out of
Kichijoji.
From now on, I'm going to try to figure out what he's going to do.
Kichijoji is the best city. We just discovered a new supermarket.
Oh my God.
I love it so much.
It's the important things in life, guys.
It's the important things. We just did our video about groceries in Japan.
And wish we found this beforehand.
Because this is the bomb diggity. I don't even know what it's called, but we were just biking around City Hall. And we're like, why don't we go on this street? Because we never went on before.
Yeah.
And up opened up this super smooth, like, sidewalk, like, freshly paved.
Yeah, it was
beautiful.
Still black. It hadn't turned that, like, gray tone.
Tons of bike parking. They had, like, guards waving everyone in. The supermarket was like glistening
we
and
were like,
shining from the
what
outside.
Is this?
And we went inside, we found a whole bunch of like new ingredients.
So
that
we literally held
before.
Hands as yeah. the entrance door opened and we both went like it was like one of those moments where you're like, this place is so huge. Like mm-hmm. it honestly is so much smaller than every grocery store I've ever been in North America,
sure.
but it's so big for Japan. It's bigger than our big store.
It
the
is
Summit,
bigger than a big store.
Summit I thought was huge.
Right?
I thought Summit was vast.
It's bigger than the Summit, and it's like nicely lit, and it's got so many things that like we sometimes see in our grocery stores that
yeah.
that are go out of season, but here they have like the breaded fish all year round.
So yeah, we buy this like pan breaded.
I said
like,
all year round, but I've only been here a few times, but it's like they got the breaded fish here while yeah. the other places don't have the breaded yeah. fish now. They've got like a great sale on paprikas.
It's on red peppers. We roast our own red peppers.
And I love it because it when you take the bike back home, when we take our bikes back home,
yeah.
it opens up to a whole new part of Kichijoji that we don't bike through. Martina hates this because I've been going by
myself.
I
don't hate it. What I hate is when Simon comes home and
yes.
says,
I want to buy a house. Like, I'm looking at, there's like, because it's more of the rural part of Kichijoji.
I don't
say.
Really know how to explain it. So, like, the best thing I can think of is this is how I've experienced Japan so far. No matter uh-huh. where we went, whether it was Osaka or Kobe or Kyoto or wherever,
uh-huh.
you have a main subway station. It's surrounded by name brand things like mm-hmm. Yoshinoya's and like the equivalent of North American chain shops like mm-hmm. McDonald's and KFC's. Then as you go further out, you start to find like local izakayas and things that have mm-hmm. more like we get into our light up coffees mm-hmm. and we get mm-hmm. into like more personal vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you go further out, it becomes just totally neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be like this in every single place.
But
it's
when
like
you get
this,
further away
right,
from the neighborhoods, that's
the
when you
notch.
Start seeing some like open land that people are using for farming. So there's
yeah.
a lot of community gardens. Beside the community gardens are these food lockers. They mm-hmm. look like vending machines or lockers. So we saw something in Kichijoji. I don't think you saw this because
no,
I've been seeing this myself.
I only saw the one in Kichijoji that
yeah.
sells like weird herbs.
Because I think that's a vending machine that sells herbs. But this place right here instead is, I think it's a locker system. Everyone has their keys and they can like put the produce that they've gathered from their community
yeah,
garden.
Yeah, no, we can buy that.
Can we?
I yes.
don't know because like I saw people going there. Like I don't want to look
no,
there.
No, I read
confused.
About that online. So because I've always been looking for it since before we came to Japan. So
right.
basically there are these lockers that farmers that are growing small amounts of food,
uh-huh.
like local ones, they
right.
put it in and it'll be like $3 for fresh eggs
yeah.
from their hens
yeah.
or like $5 for radishes. So we can buy that.
Right. Oh, well, I'm going to try that next time.
Well, take
because
me with you.
Right beside the locker is the old lady that's selling the produce that I brought
yeah.
some produce back from a couple times.
What does the stand look like? Describe
it's,
it to
it's
me.
It's just this, like, it looks like it's right by all the houses. So,
mm-hmm.
like, there's a whole bunch
so
of little
like
houses
house,
there.
House.
And then right on the corner, because there's a street that goes by a little, like, small stream of water.
Mm-hmm.
And the stream of water has these, like, nice little, like, arching bridges. And I, like, often see, like, old people there throwing, like, breadcrumbs into there at dusk. I'm not sure if they're throwing breadcrumbs at ducks. That's what I assume they are. I couldn't see the ducks because I was going by so fast on my bike. He could just be throwing his garbage out into the water. One of those two.
It's Japan. The odds are it's something lovely, like an old man feeding a bunch of ducks.
So when that street intersects with another like smaller mm-hmm. street that goes into the subdivision of houses, right on the corner is this other house that has like this front-facing stall. And there's this old woman. And like,
how old do you think she is?
I think she's probably like 70 or 80 or so. Mm-hmm. Like she looks like pretty like a lot older than we are.
When you say 70 and 80
yeah.
my mom and your parents just went, how dare you,
well,
sir. When I think of old, I think of like 80 plus.
Girl, how many people do you know are 80 plus?
lots of them.
No, like the relative bar for us is 70 is an old age now.
Oh, I don't feel like that.
People retire at 65.
No, I think 70 is old. Yeah. I just don't think of 70 as like I'm an old lady. Like okay. The word old lady to me is like 80. Like
so,
I think.
So what would you describe as 70?
70 is like old. But not like an old lady. I'd be like, okay, I'm so older.
It depends on how many O's I use. Yes. She's not old, but she's old.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like an older lady,
she's
for example.
She's older. Old-ish?
When I hear an older lady, yeah. I picture somebody in their 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. But when you say an old woman, mm-hmm. I picture like a hobbled over person who's like, I'm an old woman.
Well, she's definitely like very, like a lot more slow and doddery and whatnot. And like right in that little hole that she sells her stuff, I call it a hole, but there's a little entrance. Mm-hmm. It's maybe like 2 meters deep with like three tables around, one on left side, one on the right, and one in the middle, which she's behind. And they got these little baskets of like vegetables. So they have cucumbers and tomatoes mm-hmm. and parsnips and whatnot. And they all have the prices written like on cardboard in big markers. So like she hand drew them. You could see like where they squiggle and whatnot. So you could get cucumbers for like 160 yen, tomatoes for 230
That's
yen.
That's great. And it's, do you think it's just like a local garden she probably grows
from? It's just a local garden.
I edited out a sneeze if you can't tell right now.
I hurt my chest. I sneeze so hard.
Yeah.
And it's just like whenever I try to, when I buy more than one thing, she takes a long time to figure out the math. She's like, it's 230 plus 160. She doesn't even have a calculator or an abacus. She's like, is that 390? Like, yep, 390. I have my coins already. She's like, all right, then 390.
Sam Byakju. I have such a hard problem with the hyak and the byaks.
Kyuju. Anyhow, I love buying.
Sun. Isn't my, three sun?
Yeah. But when it's in the hundreds, it's Sam Byakju.
See, I have such a difficulty with all numbers around the world globally.
So when I go to the new grocery store, I bike by her first to see what she has to make sure I don't buy
check
that
out
at
her
grocery
wares.
Store. Because like she doesn't have red peppers, but we need red peppers for red pepper season. But she has other things that we use, like cucumbers mm-hmm. and whatnot. So I buy from her.
And Simon's been really getting into the cukes. You guys know how Simon really loves the cucumbers that are sliced up in like a, feels like it's like a sesame oil meets a vinegar with like a hot pepper.
Our Toriki Zoku video, like I married the cucumbers because they're so good. I'm trying to recreate at home. I asked my chef friend. He has a different recipe. It's not the one that I get at the grocery store because it's more like, his is very vinegary and peppery. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for that deeper kind of like soy kind of flavoring.
I have no idea what you're talking about because I think the recipe, the last two batches you've made, the one before was too soft. You oversalted them.
Yeah.
This one I thought was perfect. It was vinegary
but
and crunchy.
But it doesn't taste like the ones we get at the
because
supermarket.
Because the ones that we get at the supermarket has a dash of oil in it. So what you should be
I
is
put oil
off
in there. I finish
oil?
It off with sesame oil. See, it's just not right. I ain't getting the balances right.
I don't know what to tell you. They make them in like a mass bulk.
The point is, when I come back there, because like I do grocery shopping, then I come back home on my own, and I see these houses along the way, these huge or much bigger properties. They don't even have fences around them because like every house in a neighborhood.
You need to tone down the word huge because huge is like we're picturing bridal path homes. You mean like bigger than our current home.
Bigger than our current home. Like maybe like at least three times bigger. And they have like big open lawns with gardens, and they have their own little like woodworking farm in the back with a little tractor that they drive back and forth. Like, I would putter about there so much. And I come back home and I'm like, Martina, we need to buy a house. And she's like, what do you mean we can't? Because I looked at the real estate prices here as well, and they're super expensive. But the whole point is, I really love this new supermarket. We found it from exploring the area.
Okay, I'll tell you one thing that we have been discussing. We have been considering, like, you know, if you want to get a house in Japan, it's way too expensive. I mean, you have to have a lot of money to live in the city area unless you find some really great deal.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of rural parts of Japan that are practically giving houses
away.
Oh
my gosh.
Because there's a problem with the aging population. And, and the problem is that a lot of people either aren't having kids or they have a kid and then their kid goes somewhere else. And there are towns that are becoming like deserted because it's only people who are actually old, like 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. And they're aging, and then there's no one to take over their house. And so that's it. The houses sell.
I'll take your house. Give
away.
It to me. I will gladly live in a house in the countryside.
So what we are considering, which is just like, you guys can think about this and leave some comments about it.
This isn't like something we're going to do in the next month. When we talk about this stuff, we talk for many months, even years about what we're going to do.
But we talked about this a lot when we were in Korea. So our original plan was, in our last year in Korea, we had gone to Jeju-do. We did like a trip in Jeju, I think our last year or two. And we were like, wow, Jeju has a totally different pace to it. The real estate was super cheap.
Yeah.
Like Ihyori bought some, like, to get away from Seoul. She bought some house there and was like, I'm getting away. And we noticed that the attitude in Jeju Gojido, there were still young people there, but it was very different.
Yeah.
It felt very much like a, we want to get away from the fast-paced life of the big city, and we want to go to this place.
You know what it felt like in Tokyo? Oshima. When we went to Izu Oshima, the Godzilla Island, they had like young people that wanted to get away from the hustle with Suguru.
We have to go visit Suguru again.
And I looked at real estate prices there. You could see how many transactions have gone by in the past year. And they're really cheap in Oshima.
Let me explain to you why. Oshima is an island
that
is an active volcano.
Yeah.
And we are very bad with bringing bad weather to places.
Ah, pish posh.
So we're
going to
buy a $10 home and then a volcano will explode. Well, and we'll be like, help, we're on an island. We can't get off. And then thus will end. That will be the end of it. I mean, it would still be a pretty cool way to go. How did you die?
Volcano. Bro, a volcano? That's pretty.
We're like up in heaven and we're like, dope, man. Someone's like old age. We're like, nah, bro, we went from lava.
When we were we explored different parts of Kichijoji.
I didn't finish my story.
Oh, please go on. I thought you were done with like the death by volcano.
With my volcano, I wasn't even talking about Oshima.
Okay.
The point was, we were considering moving to Jeju.
Yes.
And what we were thinking of doing was selling the studio, selling our apartments, and moving to Jeju and opening up a really big kind of like an art house where we would be doing our stuff, exploring Jeju and that kind of thing. But it would be open for artists to come in and out,
right?
Other YouTubers, musicians, and people could sleep in the like second part of this huge place and we'd all have like communal meals together but they could make art or music or whatever it is and the deal would be you either stay for free by helping us with our farm or you pay money but like cheap, like really like low prices. So we thought about that, but then in the end we were like, let's go to a new country, right? So now we're thinking about the same kind of thing for Japan. So like it would be kind of cool, I thought, that if we could open up some kind of a house outside of Tokyo, and then even like various nasties or like people that are watching our videos, if they're coming through, they can come by, we can hang out with them, but you have to help with our farm.
Right,
so it would be this kind of cool way for people to get to know an area and be inspired, because sometimes getting out of the city and getting in touch with nature again really does something. I know I'm sounding like a total hippie, but it does. When you go for a stroll in the woods, or when you see beautiful grass, or there's a feeling that you get when you're in a forest, you know?
Well, next week we're going to Akita.
Yes.
And we're excited. We're going to do like an
onsen. Akita, Akita.
Yes. So if you remember the video that we did about Better Than Kobe Beef, where we had Akita Gyu and they had the stamp certificate of the steak that we ate there, that's from Akita. That's where you see Akita dogs. Instead of like Shiba Inu dogs, they're like also Akita dogs. They're a little bit bigger. And we're going to be going there to these like really remote onsens. There's like this onsen loop you get on a bus, you could go to different ones. There's some famous onsens in the area, and it's supposed to be like the perfect time of year because of the changing of the leaves right now with fall.
We're trying something new, which is when you go to like the subway stations, you'll see all these posters all over Tokyo being like, you know, there's a picture of like an Akita dog with like a little leaf on his nose, or you'll see like onsens or like onsen adventure things that you can go on, and you book these trips like a tour. So you go to the place, you say where you want to go, and for us, we had some difficulties because they had to call to check for our tattoos.
Right.
And that was a big one. I'm not going to go all the way up to Akita and then they're like, no tattoo.
Because there were some places that they called that were not cool tattoos.
Yeah.
So we couldn't book them.
Yeah. So we tried to book a place to make sure we can go with tattoos. And we're probably going to do a live stream there as well.
I think
depending
so.
On if there's internet.
Yeah.
Because I have no idea. We'll see. What if we get there and we have no GBs?
We have lots of data on our phone for
just
the
for live streams.
So we'll be able to blow it all at this live stream.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll get a chance to do kind of an adventure video. And show you guys like a different part of Japan.
But that'll give us that chance to go back into nature, to step away from the city and go to somewhere a little bit more remote and get a different feeling of what other parts of Japan are like, because we're very much city folk, but this might give us a sense of what things are like.
All the mosquitoes are dead.
I hope they're all... No, it's up north in Japan, so it's colder there.
But
so
it's not minus weather yet. I want the murderous minus weather. I want one cold snap that murders the whole mosquito population and then the next day, it can go back to 20. Because currently, it's like 20 degrees and above in Tokyo, which is wild
it's
and weird.
It's 20 degrees now. It's like in the second half of October now.
But it's the kind of 20 where you're still able to wear jeans and a t-shirt.
Right.
But it's not enough that I could actually go out in this hoodie. Like if I went outside in this hoodie, I'd be overheated.
Hot.
But
exactly.
By the evening, you need the hoodie.
Yeah.
Like when the sun starts setting, it's kind of like hoodie weather is required. But
when it comes to...
My arm started twitching.
It is starting
to
twitch.
It was from my shoulder. I think it slipped out.
I know. Well, let me see what I can
I like
do
using
here.
Phrases like slipped out, because this is what I feel is like, excruciating pain. And then out loud, I'm like, I think my shoulder slipped out.
Well, let's tell another magical story about an adventure that we went on at night.
Yamachan?
No, not Yamachan. I'm thinking about something even more magical that
what?
Made us feel like we were going to a mystic realm. we, instead of biking, sometimes we just walk around our neighborhood. And one night we decided to walk around Kichijoji on some different streets that we haven't seen. Mm-hmm. And when we looked up, we saw like the electricity cables or like the telephone cables that are like going from place to place. And I looked up and I said, wow, that's a really big cat. And then the cat started walking along the cables. And I'm like, that cat has an exceptionally long tail.
And then I started squinting and I said, Simon, that ain't no cat.
That's not a cat. That's a... what?
Lemur panda?
I don't know. Was it a lemur? Was it a ferret?
Like, okay, so we theorize that it's some kind of like lemur family, at least, because it had... we're going to describe it to you guys and see if you can help us. It was black and white.
Yes.
Okay. And it had really big eyes.
Right.
Like not huge eyes where you're like, it's a sugar glider, but they were big enough that we could see these golden looking eyes.
Yes.
And it had not a long snout like a weasel or a ferret, which is why I'm like, it's not a ferret.
Right.
It was way too big to be a ferret. It was like a giant cat.
It was a lot bigger than a ferret.
Like a double a cat size.
Yeah, it was like not as big as Memers, because Memers was a fat boy. That's right, you over there, fatty.
Well, he was lean and
he
long.
He was very lean and long, and but his tail was longer than his body. Like his tail would go way past his head.
His tail would constantly, if you guys are watching this on our channel, I'm doing these weird movements, but his tail would whip back and forth to kind of get his balance. Like when you see a cheetah running and the cheetah uses his tail for like, you know, balancing his body.
And this thing was just like going along the cables and we were like walking around looking like, what is this animal?
Well, we came to a conclusion about this because Spudgy had just passed away.
Right.
It was probably like, I think 2 or 3 days after he passed away.
Right.
And we were still not taking it well.
Right.
And we are taking it a bit better now, but still having our bad days. But we said, I think we have to follow this.
We don't have a choice.
I think this is like one of those like spirit animal things that came to us in the night and we were feeling so down about Spudgy and talking about him.
Yeah.
And then this lemur animal shows up and we were like, we should follow it.
I mean, like we were like, because it was,
so we did.
It was on a street that had like people going by and like bikes going by. And like, I had no idea what it was. So I was hoping that by like looking confused enough, somebody would stop and look as well and then say something. So like a lady, like, so the lemur thing went past an apartment building and a lady rode her bike into the apartment and we were just like staring up and pointing. I was like, wow, what is that? Yeah. What is that? And she didn't even give a crap. She was like, I am tired. It's 11 p.m. I just got off my work shift. I am going straight home. I don't care if there's an elephant on that. I need to watch my dramas and go to bed.
I think she glanced, but was like, it's a cat.
It's
like,
a
I think,
cat,
or
whatever.
Like,
have these foreigners never seen a cat?
And it's a cat. And I'm like, not a cat. And then the funniest part was this poor lemur got very suspicious of us following him.
Yes, he was.
So he'd be walking, and then suddenly he'd be like this.
He'd turn back at us. And he would look and just stop.
And he would stop and be like, this bitch.
Are they following me?
And then we would be like,
yeah.
And so we'd look away. And as soon as we looked away, he'd start up again.
Right.
So we followed him probably 4 blocks down. Then he hung a right.
Right.
This is all in the cables.
Yeah.
Went up through another street. So we followed him there.
And then then the cables went through a tree.
Yeah.
Right. And then so he went to the tree.
We
like,
rustling.
Oh, he's probably going to go like hang out in the tree for a bit. And we discuss it. And then we're like, hey, how does he have any girlfriends? Like, what does he mate with? Like, where are the rest of his homies? Like, is this a common animal in Tokyo? Did he escape from a zoo?
Then we heard more ruffling.
And then we saw him keep
on
going along the cables.
And we're like, we got to follow him.
He tried to shake us off with
this
little detour.
He did.
But it didn't stop us. We're like, we got to keep following you. Like, I know that this is some kind of spirited away. I'm going to go into the magic realm of something here in Tokyo.
Yep.
And then when we kept on following him, he eventually made a left on this new cable that went by a fence and we couldn't hop the fence.
It was like a temple of some kind and he went into it and so we couldn't enter it. But I was still like, you know what it really reminded me of?
Tell me.
Tanuki.
Oh.
So
his balls were so big. He
just
was
huge.
Flying on his balls.
No, the reason why I bring up Tanuki, Tanukis are like raccoon dogs. Yeah. They're like a Japanese raccoon dog and I am obsessed with them. If you guys have not seen all the posts I always put up on Twitter of Tanukis, they're these little tiny statues that you see in Japan and they look like they're kind of staring like, like that meme with the awkward girlfriend.
Right.
What was that?
Oh,
crazy,
yeah, yeah.
You know,
the crazy,
crazy
girlfriend.
Yeah, that's what Tanukis always look like. But they have huge balls.
Yeah.
Okay, and I can talk about this because it's real.
Yes.
From the history of Japan.
Very historic.
Their balls are magical and they are trickster spirits. And I love them. They love to play tricks on humans and show up as like pretending to be authority figures, but they can't speak because if they speak, they give away who they are.
They go, Tanuki!
Tanuki! And then you're like, wait a second.
Are Hold you on, are you a Tanuki?
They sometimes speak in like really old speak. So they've done a really good job of like getting away with being monks and stuff like that. But they, when they write, they'll write with really weird characters that
and
people...
And little acorns like pop out of their...
They try to pay with acorns and stuff. No, they do these things to try to trick people. So like people will often have these historical stories of like Zen monks that are like really deep and reflective. And when they write their Chinese characters, it's very like old archaic that people don't understand. But they don't understand because it's a tanuki trying to write like a human.
Right.
That's the funny part.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like mystic and everyone's like, he's so wise. And he's like, tanuki.
Tanuki.
And if you call them out, their tail will pop out. And so you can, if you see their tail under the robes, you're like, wait a second, you're a tanuki. And then they're like, tanuki. And if they gave you money, the money turns back into acorns and leaves. Because they can make things.
Right.
Anyhow, I thought that he looked like a tanuki.
Okay.
And that's my, and then he went into the temple area and then we couldn't see him again. So maybe that temple has a monk. And that monk is actually a tanuki.
The point is, like Martina said, we weren't doing too well that night. We were having a pretty rough, like, we were really missing Spudgy Bad. But when we saw this, we're like, we have to follow this. And we walked with it for maybe like a good 20 to 30 minutes or so. And we were talking and we were just like having giggles with each other. And we were very distracted and went into the temple area. We thought, you know, like maybe this was a little manifestation of Spudgy's spirit trying to distract us, trying to give us a little bit of a smile as Spudgy goes back into his little shrine temple area.
Yeah.
You know,
he's like, hey, guys. Eyes. Look
Stop
at
crying.
Thing.
Look at this.
Look at this thing.
Come on, let's We're go. Like,
what's that? And he's like, what am I over here?
What am I? Look
Whoa,
at me.
Look
Whoa,
at
my
me.
Tail's so
Sparkly
long.
Sparkly things.
And we're like, oh.
We just followed it like daughter and
and
children.
And he's like, man, you forget me so easily.
And afterwards,
all I got to show you is a weird animal. And then that's it.
Yeah.
But it was a nice little adventure tonight.
It was a simple way to feel, to distract ourselves.
Yeah.
It was a simple way. Like, you don't need to necessarily have money and go out and like do these things. Like,
it costs no money to like go follow this animal around at night. It costs no money to bike around a new part of our neighborhood and to see new people and to discover new areas and whatnot. Just go out there and just go wherever your body leads you till you find something.
I'm definitely really enjoying the posts that I see on the Build a Ladder hashtags because a lot of you guys will show me where you're living. And so some of you are in very rural neighborhoods and you're saying like, oh, there's not much here, but like, look at the sunset. And I'm like, wow. Yeah. Like, I haven't seen a sunset over like hit a hill area for years because
every time
if you
we
live
look
in the
at
city,
the sunset it's always buildings in the way
you're like there it and then it's gone like you know so there are different trade-offs for living in different areas like there is a lot more hustle bustle in a city and there are more things to do technically but you can also feel very lonely in a city because everyone's there but they're not necessarily interacting with you while when you kind of go out into an area that might be more fields and grass you can observe animals and you can see trees and I'm just really enjoying the posts to see what you guys are doing
so thank you for that everyone
I appreciate it because I like looking at them.
So that's it for this week.
We didn't even talk about Yamachan.
Oh my gosh.
The pantless wonder.
The pantless Yamachans.
I know.
We're going to tell you about Yamachans next time. For now, we're going to...
I posted up, a picture or a video of a pantless Izakaya man. So
we got a
that.
New video coming tomorrow night.
Yep.
So that's two videos in 1 week. Check that out. We got a video coming out on Friday, and then you'll probably see us live streaming in Akita. In the middle of next week.
Yeah, and then we're making a video in Akita.
Yeah.
Let me know in the comment section, when we go to an onsen, what are you interested in us showing you? Don't say naked people or boobs.
Boobs! Well, everyone's like, well, what am I going to say now?
But like, what are
Nothing!
No, because like, what are you interested in? Like, do you want to see the menus of like what you eat at the onsen food? Yeah. Like, we're going to play Scrabble.
I really want
to
show some onsen food.
Yeah, so like, what is something that you're like, what are the pillows like? Like, I want to know things that maybe we didn't think of, that we've kind of gotten used to.
Yeah,
you know?
Possible.
Yeah, that's my story.
And I hope you liked our stories for this week. And we'll see you later, everyone.
Yeah. That's it. I have a bean.
Bye-bye.
Simon's like,
see you.
Looking at the time the camera's going to die. Bye, guys.
See you.